This is the Catholic Movie Guy Podcast.
Hey, 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 Catholic Movie Guy Podcast. This is the Thanksgiving week edition. We're going to go ahead and pre-bask in the glow of that awesome Thanksgiving dinner I'm sure you're all going to have. And this week we're going to have kind of a mishmash podcast. First, I'm going to talk a little bit about a movie I just saw, Arrival, the new Amy Adams movie. And after that, we're going to bring the Tin Man on to talk about a couple movies about walking. So it doesn't get more exciting than that, does it? I don't think so. First, Arrival. I really, really, really enjoyed this movie. I went with the Brewmaster General, I guess he's my Dutch uncle. You know, he's always there with me at the movies lately. And I saw this movie really late at night after suffering a tragedy. I didn't really want to talk about it, but I feel like we're pretty close now, so I'll open up. I lost at poker badly, ace king to 8-7. So I was feeling down, feeling pretty low when the brewmaster texts me and says, "You want to go to the movies?" And I said, "Yeah, you know I do. I'm the Catholic movie guy." So then we went to the movies, and it was really late, and I was totally going into this cold, not knowing anything about the movie except that it's about aliens coming to visit. I won't say invasion, because that implies some sort of hostility. That this isn't Independence Day, let's put it that way. But without spoiling the movie, basically, a bunch of alien vessels arrive across the world. There's, I think, 12 of them at various points throughout the world. And one of them is in America, of course, because we're the most important country. So the aliens speak in this weird whale-like manatee kind of a sound that no one can understand. And where does the army go to try to decode this? But to Amy Adams, who apparently is a linguist and not just a linguist, which is dear to my heart because that was my major in college, but one of the top two linguists in the country. So they task her with going to decode this language. And they do not, you know, rush headlong into it. They do a believable job of showing how difficult it would be to decode, to communicate between a human, human language and this alien language. And in fact, they do such a good job that at one point I was thinking to myself, this has to be the most boring movie in history about an alien invasion. And maybe it still is, but that's not fair either, because if they jumped right into her decoding the language, that wouldn't be believable. So in a way, they take it very slowly in decoding. Of course, you know, to acknowledge the conceit that even in a matter of weeks, this language could be decoded is somewhat difficult to believe, I think. But in any event, they make a plausible show of her decoding this language, which is kind of like a weird hieroglyphic Sanskrit elfin, you know, circle deal, basically. How's that for linguistics? And as she decodes this language, we get flashbacks into what aspects of her life made her into the person that she is. And apparently, we learn very early on, no spoiler, that she had a young daughter at one point, and that this young daughter tragically passed away from some sort of a disease, probably cancer. And without spoiling the movie, because I think you should go in cold too if you want to see it, I will say that it's one of those movies that plays with time and with our perception of events. And through her attempts to communicate with this alien race, we learn a little bit about how difficult it is to communicate amongst ourselves, about how the countries that are being forced to work together with this alien invasion have difficulties communicating. And we learn many interesting things about Amy Adams' life and how she exactly was able to do all the things she's able to do in the movie. It's one of those movies that's a mind bender, that you think about it the first time, you're like, "Oh, this is really cool," and then the second time you're like, "Ah, oh, this is cool, but it makes no sense." And then you think about it for like five more minutes, you're like, "Oh, I just figured it out. It makes perfect sense. Everything fits together. Perfect sense." And then you think about it again, you're like, "No, it doesn't make any sense." So I love those kind of movies. It joins the pantheon of those kind of movies, including like Donnie Darko, Interstellar, that sort of thing, that I really enjoy, and I think you will too. I'm a big believer in the at least two watches theory, so I'm not going to go ahead and, you know, label this a classic right now or anything like that on one watch. I'd like to watch it again, especially this kind of a mind-bending movie. But I will say that it was a very, very good movie. Amy Adams is incredible communicating with a role that doesn't call for a ton of emoting. And I'm sure she'll be Oscar-nominated or in the conversation. Nevertheless, just briefly, a point of comparison. I mentioned Interstellar. Interstellar is a much more, in its own way, despite its mind-bending aspects, straightforward narrative and resolution. And I really love that movie. I connected with the father-daughter relationship in that movie. I'm sure many people will connect to the mother-daughter relationship in this movie. But I encourage anyone who hasn't seen that to revisit it as a point of comparison as well. That being said, I'm going to bring on the Tin Man in just a moment to talk about two movies about walking. Like I said, exciting stuff. One of Tim's favorite movies, The Way, which I've only seen one time, which is about the Camino de Santiago in Spain, the pilgrimage, and A Walk in the Woods, which is a Bill Bryson novel turned into a movie that's, you know, based on it, but is not exactly the same, and from what I hear is not nearly as good, starring Nick Nolte and Robert Redford, about walking the Appalachian Trail. And we're going to go ahead and talk, compare and contrast those movies and what they have to say about spiritual pilgrimages generally. So I'm going to bring the Tin Man on to do that in just a moment, but first I thought, for a change of pace, I might bring my wife on and see what she thought of these movies.
Hello.
Hey, honey. It's me.
Hey. How are you?
I'm good. I just wanted to ask you really quickly about, like, three movies. Just real quick.
Oh, that's a lot.
Okay. You know that movie On the Waterfront?
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to know about that. Do you know that movie, A Walk in the Woods?
Yes.
Did you like that?
Yes.
Okay. You know that movie, The Way?
Yes.
Did you like that?
Yes.
Okay, you know that movie, Arrival?
Yes.
Did you like that?
Well, it's another situation. I haven't seen it.
And how does that make you feel?
How do you think it makes me feel?
Love you. Bye. And we're back on the Catholic Movie Guy podcast. I have no bourbon near, in, or around me, but I do have something very special, something far more valuable than liquor. It's the Tin Man.
The Tin Man.
Tim, how are you feeling today?
I feel very good.
You feel like we're really getting the rhythm of this thing now? I mean, I don't want to say we're masters of the podcast, or as you say, podcast.
But no.
I think we got it down pat, don't you?
No.
Okay. So, anyway, we're here to talk about maybe Tim's favorite movie of all time. Is that fair? Not the best, but maybe the movie you've watched the most of all time?
No, on neither account. It is a current favorite of mine. I do enjoy it very much. It touches a deep spiritual card, or chord, as they say outside of St. Louis.
And what exactly would you say is the movie you've watched the most times? Because yesterday you said to me, I think you watched this like 30 to 40 times.
Yeah. I've watched Raiders of the Lost Ark quite a bit. That's always good for like a rewatch, if you get my gist. Blazing Saddles, my capacity for infantile humor is great. There are others. I've watched Barcelona quite a bit, and Metropolitan, which you don't want me to mention.
And whoa! Oh, I missed the button. Okay, fine. I'm gonna. Yeah, okay, you know, I guess that was appropriate in a way. Yeah, it's like
I'm a creature of habit.
Yeah. You like something, you like it a lot.
Bingo.
Multiple times.
That's right, because there's always something new you can pry out of there.
All right. So in that spirit, I mean, I've watched this movie once. I wouldn't say it's my favorite movie ever. I probably will watch it again. It was a good movie. Give it like a solid 7-ish out of 10. But take us through. What is this? What is The Way? What's it about?
It's called The Way. The Way by the great Emilio Estevez. Martin Sheen. The great Martin Sheen. He's wonderful.
Right, so what's it about?
It's about a father who's a Ritchie ophthalmologist out in the L.A. area who has a son, you know, he's a typical world-weary brat, goes off exploring, he ends up going to the Camino, which the dad doesn't know. He just knows that the son takes off for France and ends up getting killed the first day out on the Camino when he's hiking over the Pyrenees. Father is dealing with the loss of his son, all those regrets. The mother had died a few years back from cancer. And you get the idea that his whole world is eroding. So he goes there to collect his son's remains. Hilarity ensues, and he ends up taking the Camino de Santiago.
So I'm sure many of our listeners are familiar with the Camino, but not everybody. So I know you're the world's foremost Camino expert who has not actually come close to going on the Camino.
I'm not the foremost expert, but I do...
That's not, no, of people who have not come close to going.
That's true. It is kind of pathetic. I have wanted to go, but something always seems to stand in the way, typically a family member.
Some would say it's like a mania, not a want. I mean, it's an obsession.
Those people have no idea what they're talking about. I mean, I happen to, you know, want to get to heaven and have a spiritual life. But if that isn't important to you, you know, that's your deal.
I know, you know, it really isn't. It's not. Okay, so go ahead. So,
The Camino de Santiago. Okay, so St. James the Greater, he preached the gospel in what is currently the Iberian Peninsula, the present-day Spain and Portugal. He then returned to Jerusalem, where he was, I think, the first martyred apostle. He was thrown off the top of the Herodian temple. But anyway, so his body was transported by his disciples to Spain in the churches that he founded, and it was miraculously discovered, you know, through a series of divine interventions, and it's in Galicia, in northwestern Spain. Basically, if you look at Portugal and just point upwards towards the coast, it's basically in that area.
Okay, so there are many different ways to take the pilgrimage.
Right, and before that, and then in the Middle Ages, it was really one of the most important pilgrimage routes, and it's a very ancient one, and people would go to visit the body of St. James. He's credited with miraculous defeat of the Moors in battle. He's, in all of the healings and things that people get from going on this pilgrimage. St. Francis of Assisi went on this pilgrimage. Popes have gone. St. Isabel of Portugal went on this pilgrimage, and many others.
So there are many routes to take, right?
Right.
But which route does Sheen take in the movie?
Right. Your classic route is the Camino Frances, which is the Camino Frances, the route through France into Spain. So there are a lot of ways to hit it, but essentially, way he does it and way most people do it, the most popular route is you start somewhere on the French side of the Pyrenees, and the last French town is Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port, and then you cross the Pyrenees on the first day and end up in Roncesvalles in Spain. Then you walk roughly 800 kilometers across the north of Spain, about 500 miles, until you get to Santiago. And you pass through some major medieval pilgrimage towns and great architecture, history, spirituality, things like that.
Okay, so Martin Sheen collects his son's remains after they're cremated, and he puts them in yon box, them in yon backpack, and goes on yon hike, is what he does.
Yes, and the...
Spoiler alert.
Well, the great thing about it is he kept everything that his son had in his backpack, and if you are a Camino junkie, you will know that his backpack is hopelessly oversized. He's got way more than he needs. He can hardly handle it, but he's determined not to lose a single thing that his son possessed. Ironic enough, the way he treats his son's remains, although he's not a he's a lapsed Catholic when he begins the journey. And you get the impression over time that, of course, his faith comes back to him. It's not what I would call a perfect Catholic movie, let alone a trad movie, but it is a movie that shows spiritual growth of a people that you meet in it.
He does go about gallivanting and traipsing and dropping the ashes in different locations, which is problematic, even according to the new Vatican directive, I think.
Well, yeah, but nobody has to follow Vatican directives anymore. All you had to do is ladle out some of that Francis mercy and just douse it right on top of those ashes.
Yeah, gallows humor here. But he meets various characters along the way, some more or less entertaining.
Yeah.
Take us through these, they're kind of the archetypes of...
There's the first guy he meets is a Dutchman, Joost, who's quite rotund. He is somewhat corpulent.
And he is the comedic relief.
Yes.
And he's more than that.
But he is the comedic relief, but he really, I think he has the deepest character, as it turns out. And a Canadian, the world's only filmed angry Canadian. Have you ever seen an angry Canadian on film? Well, you will in this film.
Deborah
Unger. Yeah, but she's not an actress. Well, I guess she is an actress. A horrible, horrible movie.
You can't see this through your earbuds, but I'm writing the check mark in the sky. I won that point, yeah. She's definitely an angry Canadian on film.
No That's doubt. True.
Satisfies all the requirements.
Continue. Okay, so, and, you know, who's ostensibly walking the way to quit smoking to get away from an abusive husband. We find out later that she has a terrible secret and comes to grips with that on the pilgrimage. And then a travel writer, an Irishman, who is played by the great James Nesbitt, who played Beaufort in The Hobbit. He's one of the dwarves. Good actor. Yeah. I actually like Sheen's performance. I mean, he plays a crotchety old man, which is easy because did they write the role saying Martin Sheen play this or did he actually do it? I think he comes off pretty well. I mean, it's not Citizen Kane by any means, but it was a very entertaining movie and it's something that makes you think. Plus, it's set in the most beautiful scenery that you can dig.
Yeah, so I'd like to get your take since you love it so much. I know there's a lot of reasons you love it beyond the thing itself, okay? But what would you objectively rate this movie out of 10? Just for curiosity's sake. Not how you feel.
In terms of, you know, if you compare it to art, it's... I think because it's well done, it's not like a Kirk Cameron movie.
No.
But the message is so clearly on it. It's on the nose, as you like to say. Give it a 7 out of 10, you know. But, I mean, if you judge it as a Catholic... and you are at all interested in this pilgrimage route, it does speak to you in a way that's far beyond that. It's more enjoyable than a 7 out of 10.
Okay. So I'm just going to give my little take here, and I don't want to be too much shouted down here. I think it was a 7 out of 10. I enjoyed it. I thought it had great themes that were brought out. I thought that although we all knew how the journey would kind of end, I think it had enough surprises along the way. Okay? No pun intended. I think that the beginning was a little schmaltzy, how they handled what the way is and a little bit of how the death was handled. I don't know how you handle it in a short amount of time. Learning it was, because he learns about the son's death right at the beginning of the movie. It's not a spoiler.
But I didn't think it was schmaltzy. I mean, the way he reacts
but, to
the
you know, when death, you say
if
it's
you've
not...
had, if you've lost a child or if you've lost any close person, I mean, I thought that was very believable. There is a bit of a didactic explanation of what the way is that comes out of the mouth of the police officer who's actually trekked it 3 times.
I didn't mean it was, you know, not believable. It just came off a little ham-fisted a little to me at the beginning.
Yeah.
When you say it's not a Kirk Cameron movie, I agree completely it isn't. But it's like in between a, what I would say like a great Hollywood classic type feel and a Kirk Cameron movie. It's not quite on the level of greatness.
Here's how I'd phrase it. You know, that there have been a lot of these efforts over the past several years to try to sort of resurrect Catholic cinema in a very overt way. You know, like the Therese movie, you know, which was extremely sappy. The Passion of the Christ, which is extremely well done, but that's a gem. That's a once-in-a-lifetime kind of movie. This movie, if you looked at it as plot, production, enjoyability, you're looking at a walk in the woods. It's not that much of a comedy, but that level of quality.
See,
very enjoyable. You go to the movie, you like it, and you go home and you kind of forget about it.
This is why people say we have the same brain, because we did not talk about this before we went on, but I was going to end this with comparing it to A Walk in the Woods, because as much as The Walk in the Woods has nothing to do with Catholicism, it's a very similar why they're going on the path, why they feel the need to, and it has a spiritual element even though it's not overt to the characters themselves.
Right. No, I think it's a good comparison and contrast, because Walk in the Woods is what happens. That's what the way would be if there wasn't a spiritual component.
No,
I mean, character development like everybody has. I'm talking about there is an encounter with the Holy Church in this movie, and every character has to come to grips with it. And not all of them come to a perfectly orthodox understanding of it, but all of them are changed by this pilgrimage in a way that benefits their faith in God and Our Lady.
My point is not so much to downplay the spiritual element in this movie, but you just dismiss A Walk in the Woods, which doesn't end in a church, but I think has a very similar element of being called to put yourself to the test, to do penance in a way, whether you recognize that or not, to expiate for things in your life that you regret. You don't see that in The Walk in the Woods? I mean,
I see that
I'm not talking about the book, I'm talking about this movie.
As in any movie, character development, somebody learns a lesson. There's never a religious moment in the film.
If you're Catholic, every act is a religious act, if it has that intent. Or if, it, I mean, if you, it's an incarnational faith, like you said.
Sure. I mean, I can just stay at home and pray to God by myself. I don't need to go to church.
You're right. I guess all that stuff in the devout life about going about your daily duties with the purpose of pleasing God, etc., that's all meaningless because if we're walking the Appalachian Trail, it doesn't count.
This is ludicrous.
You've never gone out and, say, on a hike or something like that and grown closer to God?
Certainly.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's all I'm trying to say.
Okay. Well, then you sure took a long time to say it.
It's interesting because...
You're killing me, man. I don't know what point you're trying to make.
The point is, I enjoyed a walk in the woods more. I'll go ahead and say that. I liked it because it had no pretensions in it, whereas this one, you know,
I thought
it was all about being important. And from the, you know, the opening credits to the end, it was a little schmaltzy, a little bit ham-fisted to me.
I didn't think the Nick Nolte character as portrayed could have walked 7 feet, let alone the amount of trail he is credited with in the movie, which is way more than he's credited with in the book.
Yeah, I mean, morally speaking, clearly the way is a cut above, but just for enjoyment, I like to walk in the woods better.
I just like realism, you know? I mean, Nick Nolte cannot walk the Appalachian Trail. It's just not going to happen. The guy had the hippie shakes.
Martin Sheen making the Camino at that age with that backpack is pretty hard to believe, too, though.
Yeah, he's a fine young man.
Yeah. Was that a
pretty far afield, man.
It was a dye job. It looks like a dye job to me.
Well, that's what I thought was great about it, because I think that is what a, you know, way upper middle class, slightly rich ophthalmologist would probably do to look younger. And it's a horrible dye job. Martin Sheen, the actor, could probably get one that covered the whole thing. You get my gist?
Yeah,
because I think there's certainly a way of looking at it that Sheen's not acting. He's just being himself because his son knew what he was like and that's who he was. But I think I actually come down the side that he was acting and I think he did a brilliant job.
Brilliant.
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 Brilliant. You don't believe in something. You know what I'm saying? What is your problem?
When I watch The Way, what I feel is good movie. I never feel great movie.
Your problem is, I think that you think that you'll never go on the Camino, and so you don't let yourself get emotionally invested in it. And I think if you really wanted to go and have this as a priority in your life, this movie would mean a lot more to you.
Yeah, like if I was obsessed with talking about planning the Camino, browbeating my wife, priests, coworkers, friends, family, co-religionists, non-religionists, apostates, heretics, infidels to go with me on the Camino, something like that, then maybe I would like the movie about the Camino more? Yes, I agree.
If you're asking if there's a website where you can go to find out information about the Camino, it's the Camino Forum. If you type in Camino Forum on Google, Camino de Santiago Forum, it's run by a wonderful gentleman named Ivar, I-V-A-R, who lives in Santiago and helps pilgrims along the way.
If you would like to go on the Camino with Tim or facilitate his trip in any way, including by distracting his wife long enough for him to get a plane ticket and get
on money.
Anything.
Money.
Feedback. It's CatholicMovieGuy@gmail.com. So, Tim, 7 out of 10. You defended it like it was your own child. Are you sure you're not going to bump that rating up? I think it's a little low.
No, come listen, on. I think it's
like a 9. That's what you think.
I like to say what I think, and I'm just not going to be browbeaten.
Well, it had a brilliant subject matter, brilliant acting by Martin Sheen. It was wonderful, wonderful. It had everything. It had the emotional depths, comedic relief.
It touched me deep in my feely place.
And all that got it was a 7.
Well, I think when I rated it, I said as a movie work of art. It is not Citizen Kane. It isn't the Coen brothers. It isn't even an 8. It's about the quality of Walk in the Woods. And where you think schmaltz and ham-fistedness brings down old Way, I think the John Ritter-esque slapsticky old man, grumpy old man angle on Walk in the Woods brought that down. Still enjoyed it. I would watch that movie again. I've watched that movie several times. I like to watch things I like. I like to read things I like. I like to do things I like.
I don't know this off the top of my head, but I bet A Walk in the Woods is shorter.
Yeah. Not
because
much to it.
That's a point in its favor, because watching The Way, I'm like, this Way could have been maybe an hour and 30 minutes, hour and 45 minutes, not 2 hours. It's a little long way. Take the shortcut next time.
Says the man who wondered whether they had earned the payoff at the end.
Well, yeah, that's a big problem when you take that much time and still don't quite earn the payoff.
You know, if they had just, like, had one camera view from a drone and went way up high, you probably could have shot that thing 10-minute movie. It would have been way better. Nobody's time is wasted. Steve feels better. I mean, I'm a Catholic movie guy. What a joke.
I know. I'm just trying to be. I'm trying. I feels what I feels. I gotta tell the peeps. You know what I'm saying? I can't. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if I don't, you know, if I don't love it, I'm not gonna fake it just because it's a Catholic movie. You know, I mean, I'm just being antagonistic to you on purpose a little bit. I did enjoy the movie. It was a very good movie. That's what I'd say. Very good. It's like very good. At, you know, it's a B. It's very good.
Listen, man, I feel just like Tom in Metropolitan. He was into the Fourierism, you know, and nobody else was. He's a committed socialist, but not a Bolshevik.
The bell has spoken. You don't even respect the bell anymore. It's useless. I need a new and more painful device.
Hashtag bell.
Hashtag bell pain?
Hashtag bell.
Bell's palsy?
Yeah.
Can we talk about the last scene very briefly?
If you want.
You go all the way. You go all the way to the... You do the whole pilgrimage, and then you're going to go further. You're going to go to the sea.
And it's a very important site, by the way. That is actually the Muxia, M-U-X-I-A, is where the Virgin Mary landed in Spain. On a boat made out of stones, which she came ashore and the boat sort of disintegrated and all these stones were left on the shore. And there's a beautiful church there right by the ocean, which you see in this scene, which actually ended up being burned almost to the ground a year or two ago. So it's quite a shame, but it's a very important religious site.
Terrific stuff, but... You go all the way, and then you stop, what, 5 feet short of the ocean? And you just throw the ashes all over yourself and all over the rocks?
He looked like he was, like, 85. If he had gotten sucked out in there, he would have been dead in, like, 2 seconds.
This is the equivalent of running the Boston Marathon and then stopping, like, six inches short of the ribbon. I mean, it makes no sense. Go over to the water, Martin.
And then he actually takes the bag that has the last little bits of ash, and he chucks that too, so he's not much of an environmentalist.
Yeah, no, I wasn't a fan of that either. But anyway.
That was a cringing moment. It absolutely was.
But bottom line, it was a very good movie. I encourage anybody who has any interest in the following things. Tim's Obsessions, Martin Sheen, Ash Distribution, Foreign Foods, Marijuana Smoke. A little bit of that on the trail.
I think that was hash.
That's marijuana.
I don't know anything about drugs.
Well, I think it was weed. It wasn't marijuana. But yeah, anything that interests you in that regard, and including Catholicism, it's very cathartic for the Catholics.
Yeah.
Do it for the Tin Man. And then after that, moral provisos apply. Try the walk in the woods, and you can come on the side of Tim, because nobody's going to like that more than The Way, except for me, maybe.
It's a great movie.
It's not great.
There's any movie that makes you happy is a great movie.
I love it. Everything's so great. If everything's great, nothing is great.
That's not true. What is that? In The Incredibles?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, like, for instance, if I were to say Metropolitan is not a great movie, that's just not true because it is.
It is a great movie. Whoa. You going to bell yourself?
Uh-oh. That's a self-bell.
Yeah.
We got to do a Metropolitan podcast for Christmas.
Metropolitan kicks.
All right, well, I guess we're wrapping this thing up. Any parting shots here on the way?
No, I mean, I just think you did your best to kind of make this movie out to be something horrible, and I'm doing my best to try to get people to see it. You ought to see it. If you're Catholic and you don't see it, you should. If you're Catholic and you see it, you don't like it, there's something wrong with you.
Well, I'm the Catholic movie guy. There's something wrong with me, and I'm going to end this podcast. We'll see you next week. I don't know what we're going to do, but it'll be fun and exciting for all involved. I'm out.
See you, Wayne.
If you like the music, it's called Waste Technology by Jazar. BetterWithMusic.com. Check him out. Until next time, I am the Catholic Movie Guy.